the complement system doesn't at first glance sound like much. Its name reflects the fact that it complements the immune system. For example, instead of directly killing pathogens, it triggers immune cells to do so. The fact that it plays a major role in the innate or early immune response, which is responsible for a great deal of inflammation in the body, suggests that a complement system gone awry could produce many problems, including inflammation or an ability to fight off pathogens. Indeed, dysregulated complement systems have been found to play a role in many diseases, including lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, asthma, multiple sclerosis, vasculitis, ischemia, reperfusion injury, and others. Overactive complement systems can cause tissue damage, while underactivated ones can leave one susceptible to infections. The complement system consists of about 50 proteins and protein fragments that get activated when they bump into signs of infection and/or damage. One arm of the complement system gets activated when it comes across antigen-antibody complexes, when an antibody binds to a toxin or foreign substance, the classical pathway. Another, when the proteins met up with sugars produced by bacteria, a lectin pathway, or when a cell comes across microbes, an alternative pathway. Once activated, complement factors trigger the production of cytokines, which then trigger immune cells to attack pathogens, clear the body of damaged cells, and produce inflammation. Some of the complement pathways are really complex. Check out what happens in the classical complement pathway. C1q binds directly to the surface of the pathogen. Such binding leads to conformational changes in the C1q molecule, which leads to the activation of two C1R molecules. C1R is a serine protease. They then cleave C1S, another serine protease. The C1RS component now splits C4 and then C2, producing C4A, C4B, C2A, and C2B. Historically, the larger fragment of C2 was called C2A, but is now referred to as C2B. C4B and C2B bind to form the classical pathway C3 convertase, C4B2B complex, which promotes cleavage of C3 into C3A and C3B. C3B later joins with C4B2B to make C5 convertase. C4B2B3B complex. Whoa. It's no wonder the finding brought an oh no, not the complement cascade, from Eric Topple as he mused on the recent complement findings in long COVID. While each of three pathways are initiated in different ways, they all end up cleaving complement factor 5, C5, into C5B, which then binds to C6, C7, C8, and C9 to form the terminal complement complex, or TCC, C5B9. This complex bores holes into the membranes, covering pathogens, causing the internal components of the pathogen to leak out and die. The study. This Swiss study, called Persistent Complex Dysregulation with Signs of Thromboinflammation in Active Long COVID, made waves when it was published earlier this year for a couple of reasons. For one, it was pretty comprehensive, and for another, it suggested that complement problems in long COVID may be associated with another big issue, coagulation. The 152-person study did an open-ended analysis of a large number of proteins, less than 7,000, For example, it statistically assessed all of the proteins it found to see what insights would emerge. The pathway analysis examined all the biological pathways found in the proteins that were differently expressed in the long COVID patients. Think of it as a large overview of what got tweaked biologically in them. Filling two of the top three spots, complement cascade, regulation of complement cascade, and immune system, complement pathways dominated the protein findings. The fact that the complement dysregulation showed up during the initial infection in the long COVID patients, but not in the recovered patients, suggested that problems with the complement system may lay the groundwork for long COVID. An analysis of the proteins themselves found that complement C7 was significantly decreased at 6 months in the long COVID patients. Next, a machine learning AI type analysis concluded that proteins associated with the complement system were the most dysregulated 6 and 12 months after infection in long COVID. Reduced levels of the soluble complexes C5B7, C5B8, and C5B9 that were associated with the latter terminal complement complex, TCC, were found. The later terminal complex consists of complement factors that get deposited onto pathogens in order to kill them. At the same time, the long COVID patients exhibited an increase in early TCC factors, C5B-C6. The upregulation of early complement factors and the downregulation of the later complement factors suggested that something had gone awry. The authors assessed protein clusters associated with complement factor C7 in an attempt to figure out where the breakdown occurred. C7 is the factor that allows the C5B7 complex to integrate into cell membranes of pathogens. High levels of the C5B-C6 complex that preceded it indicated that the complement system was likely hyperactivated, causing inflammation. Indeed, the increased levels of two different complement factors, C2BA, suggested that two of the three arms of the complement system had been overacted in the long COVID patients. Herpes virus reactivation. The researchers uncovered two possible reasons why. Elevated levels of both anti-CMV and anti-EBV IG titers in long COVID patients at 6 months could be triggering the complement system activation. Note that researchers did not propose that the coronavirus was still activating the complement system at 6 months. Coagulation. Because complement can also be activated directly via a coagulation factor called thrombin, a coagulation cascade could also explain the complement activity. Indeed, elevated pro-coagulation factors VWF and TSP1 and decreased anticoagulation factors ADAM TS13, PAFAH, and APOA1 indicated that a thromboinflammatory response was present. For example, a coagulation-activated inflammatory response was present in the long COVID patients, evidence of a hemolytic process in which red blood cells are being destroyed also showed up. The authors noted that complement activity has been associated with microclots found in long COVID before, and complement deposition had been found on the endothelial cells lining the blood vessels and platelets in autopsies of long COVID patients. Monocytes show up again. Monocytes showed up big time in a recent ME/CFS gene expression study. In fact, that study suggested they might be ground zero for the immune problems in ME/CFS. That's an interesting finding, given that monocytes play a crucial and multifaceted role in the complement system. The long COVID study, interestingly, found that the monocytes showed distinct transcriptomic changes. For example, distinct changes in gene expression, as did the ME/CFS study. Filling the gaps. The ability of this study to potentially bring together several different potentially important factors, complement activation, herpes virus activation, coagulation-triggered inflammation, and monocyte dysregulation, that could combine to produce the chronic disease state we know as long COVID, was impressive. One of the co-authors, Dr. Felicity Liu, stated that it is unusual to find evidence of ongoing complement activation several months after acute infection has resolved, suggesting that long COVID symptoms are a result of active inflammation. Reviewing the study, Dr. Russo agreed that the activation of complement in long COVID could be producing the microclots found, which could cause premature cardiac events, dementia, respiratory failure, and renal failure, as well as the fatigue some people with long COVID struggle with. The authors proposed using antivirals to target coronavirus and herpes viruses infections and other drugs, anakinra, JAK inhibitors, to target the overactive complement system in long COVID and possibly other post-infection syndromes. Complementing the complement findings. Since the paper was published, two more studies have highlighted complement activation in long COVID. British study. Just last week, a British study called Large-Scale Phenotyping of Patients with Long COVID Post-Hospitalization reveals mechanistic subtypes of disease, involving dozens of researchers, found evidence of complement activation in formerly hospitalized COVID-19 patients who had come down with long COVID. The study, which also assessed plasma proteins, also found evidence of monocyte macrophage activation and, in a nice twist, was able to link immune factors with symptoms. One set of factors associated with cognitive problems, brain fog, suggested that neuroinflammation was the cause. Elevations of another protein, also found in irritable bowel syndrome, was associated with gut issues. Pro-inflammatory signatures dominated in the cardiorespiratory fatigue and anxiety depression groups. Markers of myeloid inflammation stood out with regards to fatigue. These factors are important because they could provide treatment approaches for these different symptoms. The authors noted that all the mechanisms proposed for long COVID, autoimmunity, thrombosis, vascular dysfunction, SARS-CoV-2 persistence, and latent virus reactivation, potentially involve the complement system and myeloid inflammation. Myeloid inflammation involves monocytes, macrophages, dendritic cells, and other cells of the innate immune system that the complement system interacts with. They proposed that trials of steroids, IL-1 antagonists, JAK inhibitors, naltrexone, and colchicine be done. Welsh study. Plus, a preprint out of the University of Wales had the enticing title, Complement Dysregulation is a Predictive and Therapeutically Amenable Feature of Long COVID. This 243-person study, which used ELISA assays, uncovered markers of significantly increased activation in all three complement pathways, classical, alternative, and terminal, in the long COVID patients, compared to recovered COVID-19 patients. An AUC score of 0.785 using four complement factors indicated that those four factors did a good job of separating out long COVID patients from healthy controls. The researchers proposed that pilot studies assessing three drugs, pegcetacoplan, targeting C3, iptacopan, targeting FB, and vimircopan, targeting FD, be undertaken in long COVID. the complement system in chronic fatigue syndrome, ME/CFS. While the complement system has never been a major thrust of immune research, it has shown up several times. The interest began when a 2003 Center of Disease Control study found increased levels of a complement factor called C4A in people with ME/CFS after exercise. A small CDC 2009 gene expression exercise study concluded that exercise might have altered the lectin pathway, resulting in a downregulation of protease, which then boosted C4A levels and produced inflammation. In 2015, another CDC gene expression study highlighted alterations in two complement genes that were associated with physical fatigue, body pain, and overall ME/CFS symptom scores, and noted the innate immune system connection that had been evolving in ME/CFS. In 2019, the NIJS group found that increased levels of C4A after exercise were associated in increased pain sensitivity in one measure, but not to others, in ME/CFS. Then, in 2021, a different complement factor, C1Q, unexpectedly, according to the authors, showed up in a large ME/CFS study. The study, which assessed just four complement factor, C1 inhibitor, C1Q, C3, C4, used more or less common blood tests. ME/CFS patients with high C1Q levels also had significantly increased C3 and C4 levels and reduced C1 inhibitors. The authors suggested that chronic activation of the classical complement pathway might result from an infection or from the clearing away of damaged cells in a large subset of patients, and proposed, interestingly enough, that coagulation be studied in this group. Treatment potential. Given the role complement plays in many autoimmune diseases, it's not surprising that a variety of drugs have been approved to treat complement dysregulation. That's potentially good news if complement should turn out to play a major role in these diseases. They include C1 inhibitors, such as Berinert, Cinryze, Ruconest, and Enjaymo. C3 inhibitors, such as Empaveli, otherwise known as pegcetacoplan, Syfovre, otherwise known as pegcetacoplan injection, C5 inhibitors, zilucoplan, pozelimab, Izervay, Soliris, Ultomiris, and Tavneos. The authors of the long COVID and ME/CFS studies propose that clinical trials of the following drugs be attempted: pegcetacoplan, targeting C3, iptacopan, targeting FB, variercopan, targeting FD, anakinra, JAK inhibitors, steroids, IL-1 antagonists, naltrexone, and colchicine. Note that a Dutch anakinra trial did not find that anakinra reduced fatigue in ME/CFS. Conclusions. More work needs to be done, but the three long COVID complement studies complemented each other well. All found evidence of complement upregulation, two found evidence of monocyte issues, a potentially important topic in ME/CFS, and the biggest study was able to link complement upregulation to coagulation, a potentially very valuable tie-in. As other long COVID and ME/CFS studies have, These studies once again pointed fingers at the innate immune system, which is responsible for much inflammation. While the ME/CFS studies found a dysregulation of different complement factors, the association of complement activation with exercise was intriguing, and one study pointed to possible coagulation issues in ME/CFS. Plus, a gene expression and a gene polymorphism study highlighted the complement system in ME/CFS well, and recent studies have highlighted monocytes. Plus, the authors proposed a variety of drugs that might help return the complement system to health and reduce the inflammation they believe that is driving these diseases. Time will tell how this all turns out, but it's good to see studies pointing arrows at the same system.